Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me. My website is www.jbsba.com. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. He's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Couldn't have done without him over the last 7 years. He's also a professor of economics and business at Temple University, formerly the dean of the School of Business there at Temple. And I think I mentioned that he's chief economist for the NFIB, and he surveys hundreds, count them, hundreds of small business owners every month, and he has been doing this now for many, many years to find out what's going on out there where the rubber meets the road, where you are, how are you, how is it in your world and as a small business owner, and then he brings that information together and creates a report and publishes it, and he shares it with us once a month. Bill Dunkelberg, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure, Jim. How are you doing down there?
Doing great. It's good to have you here, back on the show as always. What are our heroes telling us these days, Bill?
Well, of course, the last survey we had closed just a day or two before the election. And at that point, there was a tremendous amount of optimism. We had virtually no change in the overall optimism index going from September to October. So we're looking at 18 or 19 straight months where the index is above 100, and of course that signaled the beginning of the growth back in 2003. Mm-hmm. No reason to change the story. It's still looking very good, so we're looking for a nice fourth quarter as well, a good holiday season, and everything really looks in pretty good balance.
So unlike the stock market, small business wasn't too jittery about the election. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, apparently. Of course, we try to, you know, either they weren't jittery about the election or they don't think that it matters who's president, one or the other.
Right. Or maybe they were just so busy focusing on their business that they weren't thinking about the election.
Yeah, well, the fundamental premise, of course, is that the thing that makes our government work so well is that the president doesn't have very much power over the election. We don't have a Saddam or a Putin in charge.
Right.
Presidents have a lot of power in some ways, but not much over the economy. So, the private sector is in charge still in the U.S., thank goodness, and that's mm-hmm. why we do so well.
Well, the other thing is, and you, your point is well taken, and that is when you ask a small business owner how they're doing, they're thinking about the world around them right now. That would be the appropriate response. And even if a presidential change is going to affect them one way or the other, it's going to be in the out months, in the out years.
That's right. It'll be quite a while.
And you said, how is your world today?
Right. And how's it looking for the next 3 to 6 months? So,
isn't that really a good thing, though, that in America, and with the possibility of a, and I shouldn't say regime change, because that sounds a little bit third world, but with the possibility of an administration change, a political party change, that in America, we still don't sweat it all that much.
That's right, we don't. And, of course, you know, the last time when it was up in the air for so long, excuse me, it didn't, yeah. You know, we kept right on moving.
Right, right.
So we kept right on going along. And the same way this time, you got to open those doors in the morning, let the customers in, take care of them, make them happy. And, you know, you do that, and then you kind of see how things reveal themselves over the next 3 or 4 years as Congress gets busy and does something or doesn't do something, as the case may be.
We actually take all that for granted here in America now, don't we?
We do. We do.
Too much, don't we?
Probably too much so. We don't. If you want to understand how great this country is, go to one of those sessions where in a court somewhere where judges are giving the oath of citizenship to a bunch of people who have come here from someplace else to become citizens. Those people really understand what a great place this is, you know, mm-hmm. the joy to kind of be a part of that.
Well, and I'll tell you something else that reminded me about what a great country America is, and this private sector you were talking about. A few years ago, I met a man from Georgia, from the Republic of Georgia, which, as you know, for 100 years had been under communist rule. and he was a brand new entrepreneur. He had four or five businesses going. And now this man's wife is a doctor, and she works for the state, and she makes like $27 a month or something like that as a doctor. I mean, I don't remember what the number was, but it wasn't $27, folks, but it was that ridiculous. But he was an entrepreneur. He had a publishing company. He had a restaurant going. And I've never seen anybody so excited about being turned loose in the marketplace.
Yeah, that's what does this economy so well, is that we actually like entrepreneurs. We encourage entrepreneurship here. It's part of our philosophy.
It is. It's our culture. It's almost genetic, and we take that for granted sometimes, folks. But not on my show. Quick break. 20 till. We'll be right back after these messages with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg, and we're going to find out some more about what his small business respondent said on his survey.
Happy anniversary, baby, got you on my mind.
We're back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm glad you're here. Somebody who's been with us now for not all the 7 years that we've been on the air, but the lion's share of those years is our good friend and our guest this half hour, Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. And Bill, on behalf of my audience, for all the things that you've meant to us and all the great information and the wisdom that you've given to us over the years, we thank you.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's very kind of you. It's always been a pleasure to share what little I know with everybody else.
Yeah. Well, we know how much you know, and it's a lot, and we appreciate that. And folks, you know, one of the things that I'll remind you about is Bill has been doing what he's doing, working with small business owners, trying to raise their consciousness, trying to help them understand more about what's going on in the world around them. And he's been doing this now for decades, started when he was only three. And so what I'm saying is of all the small business, of all the brain trust members we have, nobody has more tenure focusing on the importance of and helping small businesses. Bill is an example of the kind of folks that we like having around us. Bill, let's talk about some of the other things that your respondent said to your survey. How about the labor situation? Are we finding the people we need?
Well, you know, I think for the most part we are. It's always amazing to me how many people still tell us that they can't find qualified applicants for their jobs or ones that satisfy them. Every month we find about half of our people are out there. Either they hired somebody or they tried to hire somebody. And of those who are trying to hire somebody, you know, three quarters of them will tell us that there were few or no qualified applicants for the positions they were trying to fill, and that's a sad commentary on the situation out there. But
one thing, Bill, about that, and I would never question your survey, but there is one element to this hiring thing that might skew your numbers a little bit, and that is that just because they can't find somebody, or they say that they're having problems one way or the other. How much do you know about whether they even know how to do that?
See,
because
I think
the two major deficiencies that small business owners have, and I've said this many times, is human resources. You know what they need to know about hiring and firing and managing people, and number two is marketing. Those are two areas that are just sort of they're not intuitive for us, and the human resources element is something that's a real pain for us. It's something.
That's true.
Look, we just want to hire somebody, get them in the, you know, come to work, do your job, and leave me alone.
Yeah. No, you're right, and that's because we have enough other things, you know, biting at our ankles.
Right.
So we keep hoping that if you hire a person, they'll have the right goals and objectives, and they'll be honest and have integrity. That's not always the case.
If a small business owner said to me, "Where should I spend? I want to take 2 hours a week and learn some stuff. What should I do?" I would say, you know, get smarter about hiring and managing people on the process of finding the right people and getting them, you know, into the right slots, and or get somebody to help you with that.
Yeah, the right compensation structure, how to provide incentives, you know.
Exactly.
All those kinds of things.
Well,
no, you're right. You know, we don't go, most entrepreneurs didn't go to entrepreneur school.
That's right.
And learn all these things.
Unfortunately, our small businesses don't come with an instruction book.
That's right. That's right.
Unfortunately. What about the capital situation? Are we buying capital goods as much as we were?
Well, pretty much so, you know. So we're hiring new people and the plans to add new jobs, create new jobs, are stronger than any time during the 1980s expansion and through much of the 90s, except for those crazy years at the end. So when you got new people, you have to put new equipment with them as well. And so we have about two-thirds of our people reporting that they actually acquired capital equipment over the last 6 months, and that's been pretty steady now. Plans to do that over the next 6 months strengthened a little bit, so we were happy to see that as well. So those pieces of the economy, if you will, are looking pretty good from our perspective.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've been telling small business owners to do is don't automatically think people first. Think technology as well. Focus on how can we automate something. Now, not to take the high touch element out of it. You want to make sure that you can still touch your customers. But what is it that we do both of these things impact capital spending. What is it that we do that a machine could do? Because and you know, a lot of people might be saying, well, boy, that's what's wrong with the marketplace. Well, it might be, but that's where we're headed. And you know, we're not going to turn that around. The other thing, Bill, that I think affects capital spending in some small businesses is whenever a lot of the capital spending that we've done has not been in the form of us buying the equipment as much as it is employing vendors to do something for us, and they buy the equipment.
That, you know, that sometimes happens, and of course we also lease stuff, and you know, that we count that as acquiring it. But a lot of leasing is going on too.
Well, yeah, exactly. And the thing is, I mean, we buy a lot of technology here, but more the really powerful technology we buy, we actually lease it from somebody else. When I say lease it, I don't mean in the traditional way. I mean that they are vendors. We outsource
right.
that work. You know, we use a lot of servers, but no servers are in my office.
That's called core competency. Focus on what you do best and let somebody else do what they do best for you.
That's exactly right. We ask ourselves, and I encourage small business owners to do this, must this be done in-house? And if it doesn't have to be done in-house, see if you can find somebody else who can do it. We're going to be right back with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. Stay with us.
That I found a way to make you say.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. William Dunkelberg, the Chief Economist for the NFIB and Professor of Economics at Temple University in Philadelphia. And don't forget, folks, to check out the NFIB's website, nfib.com, and I encourage you to support that organization. They do a lot of good work for small businesses. And also, you can find Bill's report not only on the NFIB site, but, Bill, you got another site they can find it too, don't you?
Smallbiz.org. That's B-U-S, smallbiz.org.
And also, it's on my website as well, on the homepage there.
That should cover the world right there.
That's right. That's pretty much gets everybody, doesn't it? Bill, what about inflation? Is it coming back?
It doesn't look like it's going to pick up a lot. We certainly had a major shift from 2003 to 2004, and most of my economist colleagues who don't look at my kind of micro data do agree with me that inflation will be a little bit higher this year and probably next year. So we might be looking at, you know, 3% type inflation, but that's
really?
Still... That's still historically low compared to what we've seen in some
right.
years, but it's not like the nice 1.5 we were seeing through 2003. So it's a little bit bigger, and you know, the Fed, of course, is on a course to try to make sure that it doesn't get any worse than that. So I think they'll continue to raise rates. in spite of the speculation they might take a pause in December.
So you think December they'll raise again?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't think that the data will, you know, on the economy will be anything but solid. And as long as the data are solid, you know, they've told us they've got to get the federal funds rate back up to somewhere between 3 and 4. They call it neutral. And, of course, neutral is the concept of a neutral federal funds rate depends on the inflation rate, because you want to look at a real rate, which is the difference between the nominal federal funds rate and the inflation rate. Mm-hmm. So when they're equal, you're at zero in real cost, and they want a little positive number. So.
Yeah, it's pretty unusual. There, you know? It's pretty unusual to be upside down like they are right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. So they've got a ways to go, and I don't think they'll stop marching unless there's some really seriously bad news. And right now, everything's headed the right direction. Oil prices are falling. The job numbers continue to get better and better. The inflation number isn't really bad, so it's not really going anywhere. You know, output is rising. Well, you know, everything supports continuing to really realign and what they call normalize the interest rate structure.
Mm-hmm. What about pricing power? Is that coming back a little bit? Is inflation helping the pricing power and therefore profitability of small businesses?
Well, of course, what makes pricing power possible is that demand is strong. So you can raise prices a little bit, which is what we're doing, and those hikes stick, and that, of course, has been very helpful for profitability. We haven't seen a balance between price hikes and wage hikes like we have today since the 1980s, which was, of course, a great profit decade, a great profit expansion. So things are looking good there, and so higher prices are part of the equation, but, of course, so is productivity, and that continues to look good for the economy.
Mm-hmm. And profitability, speaking of wages, two states increased minimum wage, Florida and one other one, I forgot, increased minimum wage by a dollar, their state minimum wage. What do you think about that?
Not a good idea. You know, there's a rule about hiring. You hire people only if they add more to the company than it costs you to hire them. So every time you raise the minimum wage, you make it impossible for somebody who, you know, would like to start learning how to work in the workforce, and you make it impossible for them to get a job and get onto the job training, which is the way most people learn about the work life. It's
What would happen if all the people who like minimum wage increases? What would happen if the government came out and said, okay, McDonald's, you have to charge a nickel less for a hamburger, and Shell, you have to charge a nickel less for gas, and dry cleaner, you have to charge 10 cents less for dry cleaning, because we need to help these people make a living?
Well,
what's the difference?
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's the same bad idea.
It's government trying to control the prices in the economy.
Exactly. Government control of prices has never worked ever in history. And why, you know, we're not very good, I guess, at studying history, why we continue this fiasco. Well, I know why I continue the fiasco, because if I tell people, if you elect me, I'll raise the minimum wage, they think that's a great idea,
mm-hmm.
because they think there's this big pool of money sitting out in business that nobody uses, that they can draw money out of, and that it will add to the economy.
Yep.
But instead, you know, I mean, a higher minimum wage just comes out of the pockets of customers of the firms, and there's no gain in spending power. Nothing good happens here.
No new productivity or anything.
Nothing. And
Bill Dunkelberg.
People don't work more because you pay them a higher minimum wage.
That's right. Thank you very much, Bill, for being here. Good job, as always. We'll see you next month.
My pleasure.
Have a good holiday. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, chief economist for the NFIB. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.